This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm really pleased now to introduce Tessa Hood. Welcome to the show, Tessa.
Thank you. Hello.
Great to have you on. You've enjoyed a very varied and interesting life and career, which I'm sure will come on to whilst we chat. But I just wanted to ask you about the modelling, which is something you continue to do, but it's slightly unusual for someone in their early 70s.
Yes, I hit 70 in September, and I never thought for a minute that I would still be modelling when I was 70. But, you know, there's a market for it.
Yes, I know.
There's a lot of ladies out there, and men of a certain age that are now greying, but they've got the money.
Yeah, the grey pound.
And the marketers are looking to appeal to them, so they've got to find people that look a bit like them in order to sell them the products.
Yeah, otherwise it's not real, is it?
That's right.
So what sort of things have you been selling?
Travel companies, you know, brochures for holidays. I went on Viking cruises recently.
I was going to say, what does that involve? Yeah. Where have you been?
Well, we went to Amsterdam and shot on the boat itself.
Fantastic.
We didn't go anywhere. We just sat on the boat and did the shoots when the crew were asleep. All the people on holiday on the boat were asleep.
Yeah.
And we did shots in the restaurants and shots in the bar, and you know, people being shown how to have a holiday on a boat like that.
Right.
So
okay.
That was the idea of that one. We went ashore into Amsterdam and did some shots on the bridges, you know,
yeah,
the canals, looking,
lovely,
pointing, smiling, you know, the kind of pictures I'm talking about.
Pretending you're sort of a happy couple on
yes,
holiday.
Yes, okay. All that kind of thing.
Excellent.
Yeah. Can I just put it out there? Obviously, you look absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
And there's obviously a demand, which is great. Is there a demand for 55-year-old models?
Yeah, of course there is.
Really?
Absolutely. All ages. There's always a demand for all ages. It goes right the way from kids right the way through to as old as you can get. And there's specialist agencies now. For years there's been one called Ugly, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything. But Ugly have ordinary people. And they get work in films and on commercials and all sorts of stuff.
I suppose you would. You don't want all beautiful people in the background of a film. It's not real, is it?
No,
are we talking,
right,
about extras as well as models?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I get things like grandmothers, which doesn't please me hugely because I'm not a grandmother. But, you know, they pay me, I'll do it.
Exactly, yeah. So tell us a bit about some of the other things you've done, because you've got a very varied career.
Shall I start from the beginning, very quickly? I started out at the Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, where I was a PA to a minister for Sweden. And I worked there, and I don't know whether you remember this, but there was a big case in the Court of Human Rights against the Greek colonels when they took over from the king in Greece. People have forgotten that now. But I worked on that. But in fact, I found a job rather narrow, and I came home because a girlfriend of mine was modelling, and she said, you could do this. And so I did. I came back and I auditioned for this particular job, which was at that time walking up and down in a showroom showing the clothes to buyers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Who would buy the clothes for the shops.
Yes.
And I was one of 13 models doing 3 shows a day, but earning, wait for it, 7 guineas a day.
Ooh,
who knows what a guinea is?
I don't know what a guinea is.
£1, 1 shilling.
A day.
Wow. Yeah.
Was that a lot for
the
time?
It was nice cash in hand.
Yeah.
It was nice to earn that money.
Yeah.
So I did sort of, I don't know, about 12 weeks or so with them. But through that, I met other girls who were models. And they told me where I could go to find a good agent and what to look out for, what wasn't good,
what
was.
That's half the battle, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. So from that point on, I began to get more work. I got an agent and I began to get decent work.
And what sort of age were you at this point?
21. I was quite late, really.
Oh, late, okay.
Yes, because I'd been working as a secretary up to that point.
Yeah, okay.
My parents said, if you want to model, you can do it, but we can't keep you. You know, you've made this decision to be a model, so you've got to make your own living.
Yeah.
And so that's what I had to do.
So at this point, though, you're in the wonderful 60s modelling.
Yes, oh,
how
yes,
great
I worked with Twiggy.
All the lovely sort of short skirt, mini skirts.
Yes, yes, absolutely. False eyelashes, lots of them.
Fantastic. Oh, amazing.
And wigs. And we went to we went to jobs. We had to take with us a bag full of different looks, you know, wigs, different kinds of makeup. We had to have foundation garments. Like flesh-coloured underwear. And you had to have everything, shoes and different coloured tights, everything. You didn't have people to do it for you.
I was going to say, presumably these days they just turn up in what they're wearing and that's just all there ready to go, is it?
Yeah.
So you did that up until in the 60s and then...
Yes, and that carried on. I used to go to Australia an awful lot because I found there was a big market for me down there. So I'd go most winters, I'd go down to Australia, which I absolutely loved. And I'd work down there. I did that for years and years. Then I came back and began to think, I'm getting a bit old for this. I mean, in terms of work, the work wasn't coming in like it had been.
Right, okay.
So I set up my own production company, and I started finding locations, building sets, casting models, being a kind of pick-up, put-down studio manager for the photographer studios. And so I set up quite big shoots, either overseas or here, and organised that. And that got to be a bit stressful because I would have sometimes three or four jobs in the air at the same time, one coming up, one going to be in another week's time, one to break down, and then still trying to find work for the future. So it was terribly hard work.
All on your own? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
And after about 7 years, I thought, oh, I don't think I can do this anymore.
Well, you gave it 7 years. That's not bad.
So I trained as an image consultant then and learned about colour and about proportions and thought I would be a Trini and Susanna type of person. Yeah. Unfortunately, nobody else saw that, so I didn't. But what I did do was take it corporate. And I spoke to banks and building societies and to the universities that do MBA classes and said, look, you need your people to be better in order to get the people coming to you to do the business. You know, if you have great people in a company that are liked and trusted and respected and look good and behave well, people will come to that company to work with you. And that's how I sold that. And I worked in that for 14 years. I did an awful lot of work. I wrote a book and I was a speaker on the subject. I'm talking too much.
No, it's really interesting.
So literally kind of getting them to understand the importance of making a good first impression and how to dress in that sort of arena.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And also for people who with an MBA, they think, actually, I've got an MBA. I haven't got to worry anymore. I've got an MBA. How untrue is that?
Yes, absolutely.
Because you might have 90 students in a class. Out of those 90 students, maybe four or five of them are going to go to the same job interview as you are. So you sit in a room with them all. What is it about you that makes you different from the rest
of
them?
In a good way, not a bad way.
In a good way, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, to stand up for the wrong reason.
Yes. So when you go into an interview, apart from the first impression, shaking hands, good eye contact, nice posture in the chair, it's how you sell yourself. And are you a good product to sell? And are you branding yourself strategically and absolutely honestly in the right way for you?
So once you've got past how you're dressed, how you shake the hand, how you make eye contact, what sort of things would you therefore be sort of pointing them towards, sort of thinking about?
Well, I mean, apart from the image that they make when they walk into the room in the first instance, you've got such a little time to make a good impression.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after that, it's about your tone of voice. It's about what you talk about. What you have to do when you build a brand for yourself is to unravel the layers of the onion. Get inside the skin of the onion and find all the different layers that make you special. And if you can bring out those layers and those fine things about you that are special and package them up and present them to a potential employer to make him really think you're great, you know, that works.
So much of it's mindset, though, as well, because if they walk into that interview looking fantastic but not believing they're going to get that job, their body language is going to come across as, I've lost it already.
Yes.
So it's so important. It's what you're thinking, isn't it?
And if you hold yourself properly when you walk into a room and you sit nicely in the chair, both feet on the floor, and you look at them and you answer their questions, and you've got questions for them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't just be a little sort of dummy sitting there being asked questions. You
it's
do
a two-way
the questions.
Process,
you should be well researched. You should know what they are and what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wonder sometimes, you know, there's a fine line, isn't there, between coming across as confident and then coming across, it tips the other way to sort of arrogant and pushy and, you know, do you sort of guide them into that fine line down the middle?
I think that's up to them, really. They've got to be the truth, true to themselves. And if they're an arrogant kind of person, that's going to come across whatever. You can make them more aware of how they are being seen by other people.
Yeah.
And calm it down if they are a bit over the top, you know, calm it down.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that they're not generally an arrogant person, but they may be trying to be a bit OTT for the interview, and it comes across that way.
Yeah, big themselves up too much.
Yeah, difficult. Yeah.
It is hard.
Do you not feel that the way people are dressing within some of the corporates has changed a lot now? Because my daughter's working in London at the moment, and they're very smart casual, whereas years ago when I worked in the city, it was suit. Mm. Now it's like, it's hard to know how to dress, almost.
Yeah, it's changed an awful lot.
There's so many mixed messages.
Really an awful lot. When I first started doing this particular sort of job, I was looking at men in the city that were in suits, and I would look at their short jacket sleeves and maybe curly collars and, mm-hmm. and short trousers and shiny suits and try and get them to smarten up a little bit. But now you don't have to worry about that because nobody's wearing a suit. Hardly ever. My husband wears a suit in the city when he goes to a meeting, but he doesn't wear a tie anymore.
No, there's no tie. No. Exactly, that's what I was going to say.
It's in his pocket just in case.
Yeah, the tie thing's changed.
He doesn't wear a tie.
But there's a lot to be said, isn't there? Even if it's casual clothes, that they fit nicely and they're, you know, they're well presented, even if they're not in a suit.
Yes,
there's still there's still a difference, isn't there?
A lot of men don't know what smart casual is. Actually.
No, that's so true. That's so true.
And I used to have to say to them, "Do you know? Do you understand what I mean by smart casual?" No.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain this to you.
Yeah, it's not just taking a tie off.
No, it's about choosing casual clothes that that are business ready. You know, they still look smart in a business environment, although they're more casual. So a really lovely leather jacket and some smart slacks with an open neck shirt can look really elegant. You don't have to wear a suit.
No.
What's your view on the makeup situation? Because a real bugbear of mine, because I work in school, is the amount of makeup that teenagers wear.
Yeah.
With the false eyelashes and the eyebrows.
They look like a mask. And they paint the eyebrows on really thick, and then they have this very thick cosmetic mask on their faces, and their skin can't breathe. You know, they look like painted dolls, some of them. I saw a girl the other day, I thought, oh my goodness, look at you.
So less is more when it comes to makeup.
Oh, absolutely. I don't wear anything like as much makeup as I used to when I was younger. I don't believe that it does older skins any favours. I mean, it goes into the lines on your face.
It accentuates.
Powdery look.
Yeah, and you made me think then just then of the film. I don't know if you remember it, Working Girl with Melanie Griffiths.
Yeah, great.
And
film.
She said to I can't remember the name of the other actress. How do I look? She said, well, you might want to rethink the jewellery, and you know, and she was there, and the ladies just pulling off all the bracelets and the jangly everything, you know. And it's so true, isn't it? Just too much.
I remember a particular one time working for a bank, and they had asked me to talk to one of the young ladies that was a senior executive in the company, but she chose to wear very short skirts. And they said, we've asked her not to, but she insists on wearing these short skirts, and she's going to lose her job. Can you dissuade her from wearing these short skirts? So I had a conversation with her, which was very tricky.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't so much her wearing the short skirt as the men that were uncomfortable. But whenever she appeared in the office, bending over the tables, and it made them feel uncomfortable. She didn't have any effect at all on anybody else but the men. And I couldn't dissuade her. I just couldn't. And a week later, she got fired.
Wow. Did she really? Because of the skirt?
Yeah, it was just too much. Too far the other way.
Wow.
What's your view on heels, Tessa?
Heels.
You know, sometimes there's been this big debate around the agency saying to the girl that she had to wear heels, and if she didn't wear the heels, that she couldn't work for them. And
I personally think that's outrageous. If she is uncomfortable in heels, but she does a good job, what does it matter?
Yeah.
I really don't think that should be held against her, and that she should be forced to wear heels. Absolutely not. No, I really don't.
Okay. On the other hand, tattoos.
On the other hand, who's got a tattoo? Anybody in here got a tattoo?
No,
I don't like tattoos. The thing about having a tattoo is it's great fun when you're a teenager or you're in your 20s, but when you're 70 or 80, you look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And has it changed shape by that time?
Yes,
it's true.
Yes, mine
does. If you had a very thin fish
mine
on your arm,
exactly.
Is it now a fat fish?
It doesn't look the same, does it? Well, sadly, Tessa, we've come to the end of our interview. It's gone really quickly. I can't believe how fast the time's gone.
There are other things I wanted to talk about, but
Is there one bit of advice you could give the listeners in relation to any of this? Maybe your beauty regime. You look stunning. What do you do? What's your beauty regime at night time?
Soap and water.
Really?
Really, I don't do anything. I use a moisturiser every morning, a serum and a moisturiser. I wear very little makeup. I haven't had any treatments or any surgery yet. I wouldn't say I wouldn't. That's it.
Good genes, obviously.
Real.
Good genes.
Very good genes. You look amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So that was Tessa Hood.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.